The reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, and this can be found on page 832 in the Bibles in the pews. Let's pray. Our great and awesome God, we thank you so much that you are a God who speaks to us, and we pray that we would have hearts that hear and rejoice in the news today. Amen. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, it's a privilege to be here this morning with so many faces, happy and smiling, celebrating Christmas as we remember what it really does mean at the foundation of what we celebrate today. We'll be in Luke chapter 2 if you want to keep your Bibles open, and I'll pray and we'll get started. Our gracious God, we thank you for the good news that the angels brought, that we do not need to be afraid, but that there is a Saviour that has been born to us. To a hurting and broken world. And we pray that as we look at these things today, that you would open us up by your Spirit to hear that message. And like the song said, to fall on our knees and worship that King. Amen. So in the song Happy Christmas that we've been looking at this Christmas season, John Lennon's hope for you today is that your Christmas would be a good one without any fear. You've made it to Christmas. You've got through the work Christmas parties and the other Christmas events, and the day has finally come. And it comes with great expectation in our society. Perhaps you've already had the opportunity to figure out whether this Christmas is a good one or not based on what was under the tree this morning. Or maybe you're waiting to see how the rest of the day goes first. to see how the family goes, if the kids behave in front of the grandparents, or if the roast is cooked just right, or if that crazy uncle doesn't go too crazy this time around. We've all got one. But all these things ramp up the pressure on Christmas in our society, doesn't it? Because the way we do Christmas, if you listen to our songs, if you listen to the advertising that goes on TV, or even how people start to talk about Christmas, we have this idea that Christmas is for those who have it all together. It's for the perfect families who have lots of presents under the tree. It's for those who are happy and are healthy and who can laugh a lot. It's for those who just have this opportunity to be in love and share it with the one they care about the most. Or it's for those who are successful and therefore they can enjoy going on holidays straight afterwards. All it does is it raises the bar on the rest of us who don't quite measure up, who can't quite create this perfect Christmas we wish that we could. And so Christmas becomes a very difficult time for some people, for the lonely single, for the hurt divorcee, for the cancer patient with a poor diagnosis, for those of us who dread getting together because of the difficult families we have and the time we need to spend with them. Or for those who simply just don't have the time or the money to be able to do Christmas as they would like to do it. There's pressure. At Christmas, our hurts and our fears are exposed and threatened in a way they otherwise aren't. The teeth of loss and hurt bite that bit deeper, and we have to swallow hard to try and do Christmas with difficult people. It's not that Christmas doesn't get our best effort. We try really hard at Christmas, as the character Scrooge in Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol mentions. We act a little nicer. We smile a little easier. We cheer a little more. For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people we always wish that we had always hoped that we would be. Today, for a couple of hours, we're going to try extra hard to make this Christmas a good one. To be able to make it work. To be the people that we hope that we would be. But even if we succeed in doing that, in a couple of hours tonight, Christmas is going to be over for another year. And we're going to get to the end of the Christmas season exhausted and ready for a break. After the months of build-up, is that what a good Christmas is all about? Maybe you get to today and you want to scream like Charlie Brown, "Can somebody tell me what Christmas is really about?" What makes Christmas for us a good one? Is the love and joy and peace that we talk about at Christmas actually real? And can it last for more than a few hours with our best efforts today? Because after all, who is Christmas actually for? This brings us to our first point today. Christmas is for shepherds. The first hearers of the good news of Christmas weren't the perfect people with perfect families that we associate Christmas with today. They were shepherds. If you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" The first people to hear about Christmas weren't the beautiful middle class. They were shepherds. Poor, ugly, and isolated shepherds. As a child growing up on a sheep farm and doing Sunday school, I always had a bit of a soft spot for shepherds. We had a lot of sheep. I heard about David being a shepherd and Jesus being a shepherd. And then every Christmas Eve, if I managed to get out of being Joseph, I got to dress up with a tea towel on my head and be a shepherd for the children's nativity play on Christmas Eve. But being a shepherd wasn't quite as ideal as what I had it in my childhood. The shepherds were very much despised and treated with scorn and suspicion by those around them, the rest of society. Their nomadic lifestyle and extended absences, coupled with the fact that they had a reputation for stealing stuff, meant that they didn't even have the ability to be legal witnesses in their society. Just think about that for a minute. The first witnesses to the baby born in that manger were of such low position in their society, they weren't legally even allowed to bear witness to that particular event. Yet God picked shepherds, because Christmas is for shepherds. If you have never experienced feeling hurt or broken in our world, if you've never felt isolated or misunderstood or miscast or outcast, or that you don't fit in, you could easily miss the message of Christmas. Sure, you could have a great day today. It could be filled with lots of good things and many sentimental memories. But the best that it could be would be a social gathering where we give gifts, something equivalent of Valentine's Day. But if you have felt those things, you need not fear or worry today, because Christmas is for you. Because Christmas is for shepherds. If you've ever dreaded Christmas because it reminds you of how lonely you are, Christmas is for you. If you've ever hated the idea of Christmas because of the difficulties of relating to your family, Christmas is for you. If the sense of loss grips you really tight on special days like this, then Christmas is for you. If your day isn't perfect, or if it hasn't measured up to what our culture expects it to be, then Christmas is for you. Because Christmas is for shepherds. The message of the angels has significance far beyond the next couple of hours. Regardless of who you're going to sit around the table with this afternoon, the message of the angels comes to shepherds in the midst of their darkness. A bright light shines on them, and the angel brings them this personal message. It's good news for them, and it's good news for all people, you included. It's good news for all who are going to believe what the angels have said. And it's news that can make this Christmas a good and a lasting one. Brings us to our second point today. It's quite simply, Christmas is good news. Last year marked the 50th anniversary of the Peanuts Christmas special on TV. The one we watched a clip of earlier today. And it's a special that nearly didn't even happen, because the TV executives back in 1965 thought it would be a total failure to have something as overtly religious as a Bible reading in the middle of a Christmas special at Christmas. They thought it was going to be a disaster. But Charles Schulz, the writer of Peanuts, stood firm, and because of tight scheduling requirements, they just had to go ahead and play it anyway. In the scene, Charlie Brown is getting picked on, and he's frustrated because he seems to be failing at getting Christmas right for all his friends, especially the Christmas tree. And so in despair, he calls out, "Can anyone tell me what Christmas is really about?" And little Linus comes up and he says, "I can tell you what it's about." And he reads out of our reading from today. I pick it up again at verse 11. It says, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." Charlie Brown takes these words to heart, And he goes home and he reflects on them and he leaves determined not to let commercialism ruin his Christmas. What the horrified TV executives thought was going to be a disaster turned out to be, in the words of critics, the theatrical highlight of the holiday season. Linus captures what the TV executives didn't understand, because he captures the central message of Christmas that is there for all of us. It might be buried under wrapping paper and turkey carcasses and family dinners, but it is the central important message of Christmas, the message of the angels. Lots of things can happen at Christmas, lots of really good stuff, but without the message of the angels, your Christmas can't be a good one. It can't be filled with the hope and the peace and the joy that we wish that it was. Despite the rather unremarkable surrounds of the Jesus' birth in the rustic conditions of a manger, the baby born that particular day in history, the day that we celebrate this morning, was no ordinary baby. In the words of Linus, in the words of Luke, in the words of the angels, he is a Saviour who is the Messiah, the Lord. The King promised to the Jews has arrived. Now, kids, as much as you've been looking forward to Christmas since your last birthday, or as much as your parents are looking forward to a holiday, the Jews were looking forward to this King coming much, much more, because they'd been waiting for it for hundreds of years. And now the angels announced that he's come. This King is born to them, not to doting parents or to those who are perfect, but to shepherds and to all those who are like them, who just don't have it all together. People like us. And as the weight of that message begins to sink in, suddenly around them the angels appear and they sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on those whom his favour rests." Just imagine that. Experiencing peace on earth. True and lasting peace. Not the temporary ceasefire that we can achieve by trying really hard for a day, trying that bit harder to smile, but true and lasting peace. A joyful calm that comes over people as they are welcomed in by God, as he delights in you and accepts you and he smiles on you. The child that was born in the manger was called Jesus, as our children's talk said earlier, because he will save people from their sins. Because of Jesus, God's favour can rest on people who have messed up in countless ways. People who have rejected God, or maybe even people who have hated God for what he's allowed to happen in their lives. The child in the manger grew up to die, to take the punishment that belonged to you and me, that we might be wiped clean, bringing us peace and joyful calm as the angels promised. So if you find yourself this morning trying to block out the bad stuff for a day, or trying really hard just to make Christmas work, listen to the message of the angels. It was good news for the shepherds, and it's good news for you as well. It's good news for all people. Christmas means that a Saviour has been born. And despite our repeated failings, there is hope for us to have peace with God, because God's favour can rest on us. And this brings us to our last point this morning. Christmas peace means letting go. The question is, if Christmas is such good news as the angels announced, why is it that so few of us experience the peace that is promised on this day? Why is it that so many of us are stressed and worried and anxious and sad about what is going on? Again, our Peanuts movie gives us a hint. The character Linus is well known for his ever-present security blanket. All the other characters of Peanuts try to prize it away from him without having any success at all. Even despite his constant ridicule, he will not let go of the blanket. And yet the movie contains a very subtle hint by Charles Schulz. As Linus reads the words from Luke, when he says the words of the angels, "Do not be afraid," he drops the blanket. There simply has no need for it anymore. The coming of Jesus means we no longer need to be afraid. Jesus takes away our fears. He breaks our bondage and the things that we're trapped in. And he heals the brokenness that we have in our lives. Peace is available on earth. Christmas is a time when we remember that there are some who God's favour rests upon. It rests upon us because of Jesus. But that means letting go of the things that we hold tightly. While we cling to other things like a security blanket, we can't actually cling to Jesus. It's like my one-year-old son when I try to take his drink bottle away and he clings to it extra tightly. Perhaps for us, we might hold a little finger out to Jesus just to hedge our bets a little bit. But we don't fully let go. Yet Linus is far wiser than we know. Though he may carry the blanket for the rest of the show, at the words of the angels, at the "do not be afraid," he lets it go. He just doesn't need it anymore. So if you want to experience the lasting peace that comes at Christmas, you need to let go of your blanket. You need to let go of your right to determine your own life. When you come to Jesus, you have to drop your conditions. You can't say to him, "I'll follow you if I get a girlfriend or a boyfriend." Or, "I'll follow you if you make my finances work out just fine." You can't say, I'll believe in you if you make sure that I'm not embarrassed in front of my friends, if I have a good reputation. Or, "I'll believe in you, but I don't want to let go of my anger against Bob." That I would follow you, but I was hurt by Christians sometime in the past and I don't want to do that anymore. Or, "I would follow you, but I don't want you to interfere in my life." When we say those things, we're using Jesus to hedge our bets. We're coming to him and we want his peace. But we also want all those other things that we're clinging to as well. But it doesn't work, does it? If you do that, you'll only end up tired, confused, weary, angry, or just plain burned out. Jesus is not like the other things that you cling to. He is the only one that can offer you significance and security and acceptance and love. His news was announced to shepherds, to people who were far less than perfect, people who weren't close to being accepted in society. And it was announced to them because they're the ones who desperately needed to hear it. And they're the ones who would actually receive it. His death on the cross proved that he cared about the broken and the weary and the frustrated and the angry and the downright sinful. We don't receive his favour because we're perfect people sitting around a table, but because we trust in his love and in his forgiveness. And we let go of the blanket that we are clinging to. So what's it going to take for you to let go of your blanket this morning? Christmas was never about perfect families, happy, laughing and sitting around the table, as nice as those things are. Christmas is about God coming to earth for those who are sad, for those who are lonely, for those who are broken. People just like the shepherds, so that God could give them something far beyond anything that they could ever imagine. So will you do it this Christmas? Will you let go of your fears and fall into the loving arms of Jesus, accepting the peace and the forgiveness that only He can offer? Or will you keep struggling to make it on your own and end up stressed and burned out and disappointed? Just drop the blanket and cling to Jesus instead. Because if you do, your Christmas will be a good one without any fear. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we are a broken people, a people who struggle, a people who are less than perfect people, even if we try real hard for a day to do so. Thank you that you came to earth for people like us, that there is peace on earth available to people because of what you did. Please help us to receive that today. Please help us to see the true message of Christmas that Linus reminds us of, and experience with joy what it means to have a Saviour. Amen.